possess the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top, so we can know your story. Makes a man, is it the woman in his arms? Just 'cause she has big titties? Or is it the way he fights every day? No, it's probably the titties. Now you're a male. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh. Now you're a male. My, oh my, my, oh my, my, oh my. Now you're a male. M-A-N, man, 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 man. Now you're moron.
Minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of September in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by and making it a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It is Friday. Welcome to day 12. We are here in beautiful downtown. Downtown Portland, Oregon.
Hello.
It's like it.
Oh.
Is that your Tara Reid?
Oh.
It's like every time you brush off a crumb somewhere from your body, another one just lands somewhere else. All right.
It's a very messy sandwich.
Okay. Hello. It's Friday. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you would like. And I know you would. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com for your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970 or Rick at RickEmerson.com. Oh, I meant to start this. Well, we played the Mound song there. I meant to start with this thing, this Laverne and Shirley thing that Clyde and Aaron did. We'll play this later on. Well, I don't want to start the teasing ahead of time, but there's...
Do folks know who Laverne and Shirley are anymore?
I don't know. Sarah, you know who Laverne and Shirley are.
I've heard of them.
That's you're just screwing with me now. That's a thing you're... Complete this sentence.
We're going to make it.
I was going to say... See, here's what I was going to do. I was going to say complete the sentence, Shlemiel Shlemazel. But then I realized that nobody knows what the words after that are. It's a mystery. It's like the missing chord or where Jimmy Hoffa is. All right. Or how that Breakfast Club joke ends. That's another thing nobody knows.
The one?
The Breakfast Club joke. So I don't suppose you'll be needing a drink then. And then the woman says, and then that's where John Bender falls through the roof, and it's a joke that has no end.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, in any event. Well, that was a record, I think. That was a land speed record for getting like 100 miles away from what we were talking about. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Well, anyway, blah, 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 blah. Aaron, yada, yada. Two shirts, Laverne and Shirley. We'll talk more about it later on. A whole bunch of other things to get to as well. Before I do any of that, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend and stenographer.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris. How are you today?
I am doing good.
Let me ask you this. Every time there's a shooting, like this guy up in Montreal, do you, before any of the details come across, do you always just sort of groan and grit your teeth and hope that it's not a postal worker killing somebody?
No. No, I honestly don't.
You don't? You don't worry about it? You don't? Is that a stigma that is of the past, do you think?
It's an unfair stigma.
I understand that it's...
Shooting happened like 3 times, and everyone latched onto going postal.
3 times? That does tell
me more people at McDonald's have killed their managers than at the post office.
I don't know that that's true. I think that's a thing that you're just saying, making up right now on the spot. I would say, look, all I'm saying is this. There aren't a whole lot, relatively speaking, relative to the number of crimes, and I'm not trying to taint y'all with a brush. I'm just saying, relative to the number of really high-profile public shootings that happened, it does seem like, at least for a period of American history, a disproportionate number of them, shall we say, involved United States letter carriers. That's all I'm saying. I'm just passing along the information as I understood it as an American. Now, granted, the postal carriers never really got that many people. The postal carriers, it was always a pretty low death count. As opposed to, like, that guy you mentioned, McDonald's, that guy at that, was that guy at McDonald's in California? He got, like, 21 people, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's some, I mean, that's a guy who planned it out. That's a guy who really, that guy planned his work and worked his plan. I don't think it's McDonald's anymore. I think, ironically enough, that place is actually now a
playground.
Post office. Oh, is it a playground?
I heard it was a playground.
That seems inappropriate, especially because it's covered with little tiny graves. They've got these little granite memorials everywhere.
It's not Target?
Why would you say that? Is it a Target? Wait, see, it's too early. I wasn't even prepared with the... All right, there you go. Anyway, is it a Target? I'm gonna steal that joke, by the way. That's like the Delana tearing her calf muscle because she's a cow. That's gonna go right in the Rick Emerson joke file. Milton Berle style. All right. Where are we push-up wise as of yesterday, Chris?
We are at 50.
Here's the thing, the push-up number has become like the national debt. It's just become so large that it no longer means anything. I no longer have any fear. I've lost, sort of Natalie Portman style, I've lost all my fear about any of the push-ups because there's so many of them now. And the number is just constantly spiraling. There really does need to be on my site some little Java applet that is like the national debt clock that they have in Manhattan. There needs to be a Rick Emerson push-up clock where you can check in at any time. Or like that little thing I have at the corner of my Mozilla Firefox browser at home that tells me if Abe Vigoda is still alive. It just constantly refreshes like every second and a half to tell me the Abe Vigoda life status. All right, here's what we've got today. We have the following. Tim, do we have watches today?
We only have one, so the bar is low.
Now, but isn't it true that there's a bag full of watches somewhere?
Yeah, I keep it in the hallway.
Just keep it on a forklift. There's a pallet full of watches.
There we go.
All right, well, what is the one watch we have scheduled for today?
A penis watch.
I know that it's okay, so we'll do the penis watch, and then there may be bonus watches.
There may be.
Coming out of the bag in the hallway there. So we've got that. We've got the one watch that is sort of guaranteed. We've got Scott Daly coming up from FilmFeverRadio.com. He will be reviewing the film The Black Dahlia, which is the Brian De Palma film about the murder.
Not getting good reviews.
Yeah, it's getting very mixed reviews. And here's the thing about Brian De Palma films. I like Brian De Palma a lot. I just wish... Here's the thing about Brian De Palma. Brian De Palma seems like a really nice guy. And he's a guy... There are people like this in this world. Entertainers that don't really do anything of quality, but you somehow like anyway, and you really want all of their stuff to be good. Every time they put out a record, every time they put out a television show, you want it to be good, but in your heart you know that it's just not gonna be. And so Brian De Palma's that way too. I can't remember, without using the word untouchables, I can't remember the last good film Brian De Palma made. Anyone? No, see, there you go, nothing. So... Anyway.
And The Untouchables was okay.
The Untouchables was okay largely because of the writing of David Mamet. That's it. But man, if you watch that now, here's the thing, and here's what everybody knows. If you go back and watch The Untouchables, Kevin Costner, first of all, seems to have just fallen off the cultural map completely and totally. I don't even know where that guy is anymore. He and Corbin Burnson are just in a hotel room somewhere staring at each other. That's all it is. You go back and watch The Untouchables, it's really difficult to root for. You find yourself rooting for Al Capone for the entire film. Because Elliot Ness, in the person of Kevin Costner, just comes off as just such a goody-two-shoes prude Boy Scout a-hole. And that, man, let's go do some good, you know, and it just...
I love my wife.
Yeah. I am a tall glass of warm water. That's what that movie comes across as. Well, in any event, so we'll talk about the Black Dahlia, that Star Wars DVD set that came out this week that I believe Dan DeRose was fool enough to buy. What else? Oh, and this fantastic drunken commentary that Aaron, Scott, Dally, Clyde, Jason Crump, and some other guys did. They all got loaded at Aaron's house. They're going to be offering custom commentary.
Oh, yeah, that was right after the Soapbox Derby, I remember.
Was it?
Yeah, because I got drunken text messages from Clyde, like, come and drink with us.
There's a lot of, like, woo!
Yeah, and I saw him. We were all drinking beer at, like, 9 a.m., so that should be pretty good.
Would you like to hear a sample soundbite?
Why, yes, I would.
All right, let me, hold on. I believe this is, now, I may be wrong about this, but I believe that this is Clyde asking if Mr. Clean, which is an industrial household cleanser, can be used as a drink mix. This is from the Strange Brew commentary taping that happened at Aaron's house over the weekend.
This might be a stupid question. Is Mr. Clean a mister?
Yes. No. Yes, I drink
okay,
it.
Thanks.
Yes.
I'll be right
yes,
back.
Have some.
It's genius. So we'll get to that later on. What else? And I believe, although I am not positive, I believe this is not a tease, but I believe we'll have Jenny Hogan. From Coin News at some point. Oh, and we will have this, a major Storm Large announcement today. Yeah, we have moved on, as you know, from talking about the show that can never again be named. But we have some cool news about Storm, so we'll get to that probably in the 1 o'clock hour, like 1:30 or so. All of that, plus Ed McCarthy talking about tainted bags of spinach. All right, have you got all that, sir?
I do. I have here's what Scott Daly is starting the Star Wars sticky information, drunken commentary, Storm Large announcement. Ed McCarthy.
There you go, sir. All right, my friend.
I have to say, the only reason you brought up the Untouchables is just so you could say the line.
Which is, man, let's go do some good?
No.
What from the Untouchables?
Don Connery's line. Come on.
Oh.
You're waiting for it.
I'm sorry. You're mucking with a G.
There you go.
All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you at 3.
All right, thank you. There you go. That's Mailman Chris. All right. I forgot all about that. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon with new fiery hair for 2006. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing well.
You look all... You know what you look like today? You look like sort of... this is going to come out wrong, but, you know, it's like in the Archie comics, there's the Betty and Veronica, and Betty, of course, is the good girl because she's blonde, and Veronica is the bad girl because she's brunette. You look like a Veronica today.
Ooh, thank you.
It is, because you got the black...
I feel good because I didn't have to ride my bike, so I got to, you know, dress up a little bit.
You got the black turtleneck, and then you got your hair, and your hair is really... I know this is the fruitiest conversation. Your hair's all dark at the ends, but then it's like a magenta... Yeah, kind of a thing. I mean,
it's magenta and blonde and brown.
It's kind of intimidating is what it is. It's sort of angry.
I know. I didn't even recognize it. I woke up this morning, I'm like, I have different hair.
Seriously, it's a very aggressive hairstyle. It's not bad. It's just, it's sort of... It is.
I'll kick your ass.
It is kind of evil looking. All right. And Tim Riley's working on the following stories today for your edification.
There may be a second autopsy on the body of Anna Nicole Smith's son. Tommy Lee's supernova band must take on a new name. There's nobody listening anymore. Clear Channel may have to sell its radio station.
Ah, that's too bad.
An Oregon bank robber is fingered by his booger.
Here's what just happened. Is that you just said the last word of that sentence, and I couldn't understand what it was. It was a lot
booger.
Of...
Booger.
I thought it was burger.
B-O-O-G-E-R.
Can you say that on the air? Well, now we have... Oh, and it's fingered. Can we all agree that the word fingered is unpleasant? Let's see. Rick, he does have a new movie out. This is Kevin Costner. It looks like Top Gun with helicopters. By the way, I think your push-up number would be cut in half if you do them while wearing a push-up bra. All right, thank you, sir. in any event. All right, 503-733-2. I swallowed like a hair or something earlier. That was just for Aaron. It's 503-733-2970. Before we do anything else, let me, where's my...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our intern and the call screener, Scotty J. How are you?
Good morning.
What is with that
Scotty J's showing the chest hair. Is that a silk shirt?
It's been a couple of years since I dug this one out.
Why are you dressed this way?
Did you weigh like 100 pounds more?
Where's my eye bleach?
Yes, I have lost some weight since I joined the Emerson Show.
The goggles, they do nothing!
I don't have money for lunch anymore.
Just undo one more button. It looks a little tighter on your neck.
I swear to God, I'll fire you right now.
The Tommy Lee look, right?
Here's...
You just go Dave Navarro. Just take it off.
Yeah.
You know, I've worn the shirt like twice, and I think it's about time.
And then
handed it down to the next friend.
Yeah. Let's do that. Here's the thing is I can't take my eyes off of it, perversely
off
enough.
Off of his chest hair?
Yeah, here's what Scotty J is wearing. Now, turn back around. I got to adequately describe this. You're wearing a bowling... Well, it's a not a bowling shirt. Is that what you call that? What is the kind of shirt
I don't know what
that?
I'd call that.
But you know this style of
shirt.
You
can see his nipples through
it. Stop. I never know what to call this style of shirt. It's not a bowling shirt because it buttons all the way down. But
it just
like
looks
a,
like a shirt. I don't know.
Like a bowling league type shirt.
It's like a silky-ish shirt.
Anyway, but then it's got, but you can tell it's sophisticated because it's got playing cards embroidered on the boob, right? On the left boob, it's got an ace king, or big slick, as they say, embroidered right here. And then, here's the thing, it's not that it's unbuttoned as such, it's buttoned all the way up, but it's one of those bowling shirts with like a plunging V-neck, revealing all sorts of pasty man skin, and then
but
like
but you're supposed to wear an undershirt underneath.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you're not supposed to wear that without anything underneath.
See, look, Tim's wearing a shirt underneath his button-up.
Yeah, see?
Well, I know not to leave the suburbs without one, because you look like you're out to paint the town red with something like that.
Seriously.
He's showing a little too much skin.
It's really just...
Right after the show, I'm painting the town red. All that's right. Exactly
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
going to
do.
Do
that. This looks like you... You know what this shirt looks like? Here's what your outfit looks like this morning.
A curtain?
Looks like where you either dress like. In the dark...
That looks like the top to a pajama set.
I can see that. Yeah, like you're on your way to the mansion.
Hugh Hefner, yeah.
Or I was going to say when you're leaving like the chick's house late at night or early in the morning and it's like you don't want to make any noise and you just want to get as stealthily as possible. And so you're just gathering all your possessions and sprinting for the front door quickly. And then you get in the car, go straight to work and realize that you have forgotten part of your clothing at home. Which I have done before. Now, Sarah and I have talked about this. And I don't mean to gross everybody out, but it's nothing to lunch out. It doesn't matter. Sarah and I have to, because we bicycle sometimes. And I didn't today because I suck. But we will bicycle in sometimes, and I don't know if this happens to y'all, but I will bicycle to work occasionally, and it's not so much that I sweat on the ride in, because maybe you do, but it's just sort of whatever. It's just the motion, the wind, the breeze, it sort of evaporates.
People don't sweat, they perspire.
Yes, they glisten. We sparkle. And so on the way in, it's like you don't really notice the glistening, because again, it's being evaporated by the breeze going by you, whatever. But then this thing happens. Have you done this where you will exercise? You'll be done with the exercise, and you'll go into whatever, locker room, bathroom, you'll go back home to change or whatever, and it's like the sweat all catches up with you at once.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly, it's like every pore in your body is just leaking like a sieve. It's like you've sprung some sort of an opening.
And that's, of course, the moment that you get to work, and you have to look kind of presentable.
Exactly. And it's always the day when I've worn some light-colored shirt. And so normally, like today, my outfit is basic black. I wear a lot of black clothing. Not to hide my sweat, but just because I can't really match anything. And so you figure you can't go wrong with black. Every so often, like I have that light-colored purple button-down that you like that I'll wear sometimes. The last time I wore that, got here, and of course I forgot to wear like a T-shirt underneath it. Like an undershirt. And so there's a bicycle to work. I put it on, and then you just can't stop the sweating somehow. And you're like dabbing yourself with paper towels, and nothing works. And so then you're walking through the office and you realize you're still, and it's just sweating right through the shirt. I've actually done this. I've actually had such a problem with post-workout sweat here at the office going right through a light-colored shirt that I have feigned that I spilled water on myself. I'll sort of do the, in my office, like a, oh, darn, all the luck. What happened? Well, I spilled some water on myself. Right here under my arms and and at the neckline. How did that happen? Just to cover up the fact that I'm just leaching out water like I was a swamp cooler.
Hey, funny part is I asked Mrs. J on the way out the door this morning. Does this outfit look okay?
Am I all fit for the swingers convention?
Yeah, so perhaps it's a big setup or something.
That's a keep you from being hit on by other women while you're at work outfit. That's why Mrs. J did that.
That's proper. You know, some woman's got to meet you on the street corner and slip you a Mickey.
That's totally. All right, here's what I meant to ask.
Scotty J, so you have quite a hairy chest. Is it hairy all around?
No.
Oh, please.
I don't need to know this.
Is that inappropriate?
I just don't want to know.
He's giving a little tease
you
right there.
You might want to dump that.
It's all inappropriate. I just don't want to know. Do you have back hair?
I didn't even ask him
you know
about
what?
Back hair.
I didn't have
you
that.
You look like you're probably a relatively hairless individual.
Right. And I didn't have that most of my life until, like, the last couple of years. There's, like, a couple little patches. And I'm like, what the
a
heck?
A couple little patches?
Yeah, what the heck is this?
You know? Did you find them yourself, or were they pointed out to you?
Did Mrs. J show you?
Did Mrs. J point out your sprouting back hair?
Yes, they were pointed out.
All right. That's got to feel good. here's what I'm running about you in here to ask, by the way. What do we know of Jenny Hogan, traffic girl from Corinth?
I just checked the messages again. Nothing yet.
But, I mean, are we endeavoring to get her on today?
I'm going
to
keep at it, yes.
All right. Well, then I'll wait and read these emails about her until she's committed to come in. And then
somebody sent me a picture of her on my cell phone. I don't know how they did it. From inside the studio, a picture of her standing in front of the green screen. Someone sent it to me on my cell phone.
That's kind of creepy.
It is creepy, and I don't know who it came from.
That's like when the hitman sends you a photo of you leaving your house in the morning, walking the dog, and like, I can kill you anytime I want, just so you know. So this is a photograph of her taken in front of the green screen this morning.
I think it's this morning.
Those are like the blackmail photos, when you're sitting across the room from Blofeld, and he goes, perhaps you would like to see what I have. And then you open the manila envelope, and it's you at some place you thought was private with like some chick that you're shagging on the side having a martini. Now, I have the negatives, unless you would like them to be released. All right. Thank you. Well, let us know about
that.
Thank you. All right. Cover up. Find a couple shirt or something to wear underneath.
My word. Things that go on here.
All very unpleasant. Well, no. Here's the other thing. Is sometimes I will come to work.
I think Scotty J was just trying to look nice. Everyone needs to feel sexy every once in a while.
Scotty J doesn't...
There'll be wolf whistles aplenty from the ladies in the sales.
Yeah, absolutely. Chest hair isn't... I don't think girls like that. I think girls find... Let me ask you this.
I like a little chest hair. I don't like his smooth...
You don't like his baby
smooth
bottom?
No, I like a guy to look like a guy. I like a little bit of chest hair.
Does Nate have chest hair?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Not a lot, but not like whole Burt Reynolds, but like a little bit.
You know, I think your chest hair should not be thick enough that you should be able to carve like initials of your favorite sports team in it or something. You don't want to have like a black forest, because then you're Clyde.
I know a couple people, not that I've dated, but people who have full-on, like, body suits of hair.
All right. I think that here's my assessment of the chest hair thing. I think girls like it have a little bit, but you don't want to show it without being prompted. You know, in other words, if a woman wants to see your chest hair or is turned up, you'll get to some point in the evening where the chest hair is exposed. You don't show that. You let her put you in a position to show the chest hair, Scotty J, just so you know. So... Yeah, you come see me. I'll find a Johnson I 70 shirt for you to put on. You just wear that underneath. All right, ladies and gentlemen, should we break?
We might as well just break.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break. When we come back, we will have Lisa Goddard. We're going to talk more about that MySpace girl later on as well.
Did you post her picture?
Oh, man, did I get peppered with questions about that when I got home.
Oh.
So, who's your MySpace friend?
Well, did Lara hear about the show the other day? Okay.
What show?
No show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I don't either.
Shut your head.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No one heard that. We'll break after this. We'll come back. Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Goddard around the corner. Later on, Jim Roop. We have Ed McCarthy and Gary Baumgarten. Tim Riley will be at the Ministry of Truth. This is the Rick Emerson Show. It is Friday on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Show is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let me double check and make sure this is up here. Inadvertently got the full screenshot of Scotty J's heaving bosoms. All right, if you go to rickemerson.com, or as of right now, we posted two things, one of which, we'll talk here in maybe a little bit about this with the MySpace girl. But if you, and you're right, by the way, about this, A, that the photo was torn, it didn't look like it's just torn through, it looks like it was torn into several small pieces.
Well, somebody had sent me the comment that it might have been folded. That they could have been folded in a pile together.
I didn't look folded.
But look, they all have the same creases on them.
Maybe. It's just, here's the really sexy thing about this photograph is the dirty laundry off to the side. That's really what seals it right there. Okay.
I just feel wrong looking at that.
The fringe on the bikini
It's the worst thing ever. It looks like overgrowth.
It's a... a little touch of elegance. It is, as Stephanie Miller would say, classy with a K. Right below that, though, to perhaps take that image out of your mind or replace it with something worse, is a picture of Scotty J's One for the Ladies look right there. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So you go to rickemerson.com, you can see both of those. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well today. Hold on, Sarah's mouthing something at me. Yes.
Now, what smells so good? Do you smell that?
I believe that is the smell of Scotty J. The smell of Scotty
so
J.
Weird.
It's love for the ladies. I don't know. I think Tim's cooking a thing. I believe Tim is cooking something from Marie Callender.
Oh, tofu lasagna. Yeah.
That Marie Callender, you know? She's good.
No, it's we're in very cramped quarters here. And there's only two kinds of smells in this part of the building here at CBS Radio Portland. Very good smells, which means that Tim is making lunch, or really rank smells, which means that the engineering door is open. So
you need to be nice to the engineers.
No, it's not them. They've got a refrigerator there. And I would imagine that Jimmy Carter was in office the last time that refrigerator was cleaned. And you know, I mean, look, come on, Lisa. You know how radio people are.
Yes.
I mean, radio people are not necessarily, they're not known for their tidiness, is that's all I'm saying.
No,
so.
Reporters and anyone in the media in general.
No, it's true.
But radio is the worst. We can definitely hide. No one knows how the depths.
Well, that's the thing. And the other thing about radio people, we can sort of, if we have to go on a camera or go in public, we can sort of put on a sheen of sort of respectability for a couple hours at a time. And then like a portrait of Dorian Gray, it all just sort of implodes. So, I mean, that's like how I somehow managed to leave. Sarah and I have talked about this. Because Sarah and I are not, we don't live together, but I'm saying Sarah and I are very similar in a lot of ways. We don't really keep a clean house, either one of us.
Nice.
But somehow I can manage to avoid stinking of filth when I leave the house in the morning. I can walk out the front door and seem reasonably clean.
You should throw me into that too, because you're making it sound like the story ends with me smelling like garbage.
No, Sarah also does not smell. Sarah also does not smell of garbage. But then you go into my house and it's just a cloud of tsetse flies. That's all it is. Just everywhere, hovering over a box of Kraft macaroni. That's it. So let's move on.
Who's your car? That's my question. That gets really nasty. When your car gets nasty, it's just like, ugh.
Well, look, here's the thing about this. This is really more than anybody wants to know about me, but I got this weird... I do have, as we've talked about in great detail on the show, sort of an obsessive compulsive type A anal retentive kind of nature. But the thing is, it's very specialized. And I think a lot of people are like this, is that I, for one thing, I cannot tolerate a dirty control room or a dirty studio.
Well, okay.
And it's like everybody and people who work with me know this. During the program we do here, the studio just becomes filthy. But at the end of the day, it's 3 p.m. Pacific when we go off the air. I go through the studio. I throw things away. I gather up dishes or cups and papers and whatever. Everything goes back. A place for everything, Lisa, and everything in its place. But see, that's the only thing. If my office is the same way, I keep my office very tidy. Anything that anybody's going to see. And there probably is more insight into my psyche here than really I even realize. Because if it's a place that no one else is going to see, e.g. my car, my house, man, I just let it go to... It turns into a gigantic half-life in compost heap. Really, that is... So just in case anybody should ask about the state of Rick Emerson cleanliness, he will now be adequately informed.
So thank God you don't work alone.
Really,
in that studio.
Others to keep me in check. Oh, good God. I know that this is how jaded I've become. And George Bush spoke somewhere, someplace this morning about something or other.
Yes, he did speak again. I know it is so hard for you. I know you really have a hard time caring.
Here's the thing is that for a while, and I know that it makes me sound... an ugly, fat, stupid, out-of-touch American. I know that when I constantly talk about George W. Bush and how little I care, you probably at some point have got to wonder why I bring it up if I don't care about it. But my thing is that it's just, at one point, there was at least comedic potential there. There was some sort of humor to be mined from George W. Bush. But now, at this point, I've realized that watching George W. Bush speak is sort of like watching reality television. Because I was all amped up to watch, not all amped up, but I was somewhat excited to watch this new season of Survivor, even though I am not a reality TV fan. Mm-hmm. Because Mark Burnett just
missed it last night.
He's doing this whole thing where he's dividing everybody up by race and blah, 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 and it was going to be very scandalous. But the thing that you realize about 12 minutes in, and which is why I will not be watching subsequent episodes, is that it really is so stage managed and so edited and so overproduced, and it's whittled from 18 hours down to 42 minutes, that it really is representative of nothing, contains no actual substance or content, and so there's not even really social grist to be gained from it. And that's kind of where I am with George W. Bush. There's really no more. I think we've exhausted the punchline potential of this president. So, was that being said, was he speaking? Was he speaking about anything I care about?
Yeah, he's back talking about terror suspects, and this is really the reason he's doing this is because Republicans have a very serious problem right now in Congress on this issue. The president and basically the House Republican leadership have one plan that essentially gives the CIA wider range of abilities and also gives terror suspects fewer rights. The Senate has come up with a compromise in its committee that deals with a lot of these issues. It's very complicated, but deals with if you're a terror suspect, you're on trial, and there's some evidence against you that's classified, so you're not allowed to see it. Is that okay? You know, can you be tried on evidence you never see? You know, and the way the Senate's approaches that is they actually let a judge decide those issues case by case, look at that evidence and take it. But the way the president approaches it is, yes, you can be tried on evidence that you don't see. Essentially. It's complicated, but that's one of the issues here. Yeah, and so that's what the president's talking about today, talking about his plan, which he says we've gotten information from these terror suspects through these interrogations that has stopped attacks. And I'm worried that what Congress is doing is going to prevent the CIA from using these interrogation methods. And he says if Congress passes a bill like that, he's going to veto it. So, again, we'll be potentially in limbo until these two sides can agree on exactly what can we do to terror suspects and how can we try them in front of a judge.
I swear to God, this is not a thing I'm advocating. I have to be very clear about that because I in no way wish to sponsor, condone, promote, endorse, or encourage any sort of social discord or disobedience. That would be wrong. But I am just going to make the observation that we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. When he revealed this whole, well, we do technically have some secret prisons, but look over there, bright shiny object, and tried to not talk about it. And this is what I said last week. It really is, and I mean this sincerely. I don't mean this with that. This is not hyperbole. This is the sort of thing that really does lead to revolutions. And by that, I mean this. That when you've got the government having secret prisons or secret trials or secret evidence they are trying to get information out of people with information with evidence that the people that are not being told about the charges facing them or they're not able to face their accusers, all of that stuff that we sort of assume people have the right to. The problem is it just fills the populace, or at least me, with just this huge sense of impotent, frustrated rage. And the idea that the government is really accountable to no one, and that despite whatever debate there may be in whatever section of the government, that really nothing is going to change and that you can't do anything about it. The idea that the government can fundamentally do this and be held accountable to no one, that really is the sort of thing that in the past, in other places, has led to just a great rising up against the man. And I can't help. And just as a final note, and I know I'm officially now just bitching about stuff and you're having to sit there and listen to it, but I will say that with the last time you were on talking about the secret prisons with us, I got a whole bunch of, not a whole bunch, but I got a fair amount of email from the audience who was calling me like a pinko commie liberal sympathizer, blah, 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 blah. And it all ran along the lines of, you know, well, these people aren't American citizens, and so therefore they don't have the constitutional protections that a citizen would have, da-da-da-da. What no one ever points out, ever, I've never heard anybody make this observation in any of these stories, is that it's not really about being born in the United States and therefore having the protection of the Constitution. It is, at least if my grasp of basic English sentence structure still works, it is, in fact, the Declaration of Independence, which says that you are endowed not by your citizenship, but by your creator. In other words, they are inherent in you, that you have certain inalienable rights, among them equal treatment and liberty, etc. And no one ever makes that point. They just continually go back to this business about the Constitution not applying to people who don't live here. The whole thing fills me with furious purple rage.
That's my job on this Friday.
All right, there you go. I just had to get that out. I don't expect you to have any response answer to that.
So your listeners have the tricky thing with this. This is exactly the type of issue that really does divide Americans. And you know, I've said before, I think Americans really have more common views than uncommon with each other. But I think this issue of how much rights do you afford to someone who's suspected of wanting to harm us, that is exactly the issue that I think divides us, and that's why Congress is having such a hard time. I think many people, especially if you go south of where I am now, I think in the South, they really feel strongly, listen, we have to protect our country. That's number one. And they would say, I trust the government to not go too far. Now, others, perhaps your listeners would say, are you kidding me? I don't trust the government at all.
It really would seem like anybody who walks upright and has a functional brainstem would say that isn't right. But, I mean, that's just...
But that's the disagreement. I mean, there really are people who... And I understand their point of view very well. You know, I'm trying not to take a side here. I don't think I have a side. But that really is the dividing point, I think, right now, is this issue of liberties versus security and this whole issue of terror suspects falls right in that bullseye, and that's why the president is talking so much about it and why the Democrats are bringing it up as much as they can. They know it's a problem not just between parts of this country, but it's a debate within the Republican Party that they're trying to expose.
Seriously, can I just tell you this? There are whole sections of this country that ought to just be walled off and covered with cement. I'm telling you that right now. You would see the mean IQ in this country skyrocket. If they're like, for instance, you just take like Utah, maybe Idaho. I'm not even talking about the South. They're whole swaths of this country.
I don't even know how to reply to that.
You don't have to reply. I'm simply telling you my opinion as a there's a guy with a microphone as a pundit. Real quickly, speaking of dividing things, I suspect we'll hear more about this. But is it true that it wasn't the full Congress, it was the House, right? That they passed some bill to put this 700-mile fence across the border down south?
Yes, yeah, a double layer fence, at least double layer, could be triple layer. It also is supposed to have cameras and sensors and, I guess, play the Knight Rider theme. No. The House has passed the 700-mile border fence. And here's the thing. They already passed this earlier this year. The Senate passed a border fence that was a little shorter. They had different amounts. 700 looked like where they were going to end up anyway, 700 miles.
Does that even cover the entire... It doesn't. Of course it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. What this covers is some of the main population areas, I think, going near to different, you know, near El Paso, for example, Del Rio, a lot of the more metropolitan, the more trafficked areas that they think where immigrants are going through the border. So the House passed this, and what they're trying to do is say, hey, let's do this year and nothing else. Pass this fence and forget guest worker, forget legalization. And honestly, I think that's something like that is probably what's going to happen.
Here's what's going to happen with that fence, and I'm telling you this right now. The fence is going to be like this skate park they tried to open in my hometown a few years ago. They're going to get the initial round of funding. It's going to go up, and then the taxpayers are going to turn on it. They're not going to maintain it, and it's just going to become a big tetanus-covered boondoggle.
That's what a lot of people worry about.
Just make a note of that so you can say that Rick Emerson told you that.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry for being so cranky today.
Hey, you know, it's been a long week.
All right, this will all be better after the revolution. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. Mom's the word. Thank you, Lisa.
Hey, my pleasure.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Sorry. Hello.
You are a little cranky.
I'm not cranky.
I know, but you don't need to go
here.
Into describe why. I know, we just heard.
I'm not cranky of anybody here. I'm just saying, it has nothing to do with you, baby. Baby, it ain't you. It's not even you. It's not even me. It's just George W. Bush.
I know.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's see. What have I got here? I've got Rick. Oh, I meant to ask her what the hell that... Oh, damn me. Damn me to hell! Kick this ass. Kick it for a man. I meant to ask her what the end of Laverne and Shirley theme song was. She works at CNN. She's got to know those things. Have you ever seen an episode of Laverne and Shirley?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Do you know what program Laverne and Shirley's a spinoff of? I don't think this is an age thing. I think this is a you thing.
I told you I didn't watch very much TV.
Because it's living in Spain and wherever.
Yeah.
Spain, it was Germany?
Yeah, my parents wouldn't let us watch a lot of TV. We were forced to play outside.
Forced to play outside and get fresh air and read and so forth. All right. Well, there's this Laverne and Shirley. Wait, let me just, I might as well just play this here. Let's see. This is,
as I understand it, Aaron Geek in the City, along with Clyde Lewis, Scott Daly, etc., they have this genius idea. I was going to do the top five here, but I don't know if we'll have time. We might, actually, if I can get this out of the way. They have this genius idea, which actually is very similar to something Kevin Smith is doing for Clerks 2. Where you can download the commentary, because normally you have to wait till the DVD comes out, and then the commentary, which on a Kevin Smith film is really worth the price of purchase alone. They got this great thing where you can go to viewaskew.com, download the commentary for Clerks 2 while it's still in the theater, put it on your iPod or whatever, and go to the theater and watch the movie again while listening to the commentary. It's a great way to get double the ticket attendance, too. It's a great idea. So Aaron and I and Joni, we've all had this idea for the longest time. I'm like, somebody got to do this with classic films, classic geek films. And so Aaron has just taken, and Scott have taken the bull by the horns. So they have now started creating geek commentaries for already existing films. And the first one was Strange Brew, which is a fascinated me. He'll tell you about it. It's Bob and Doug McKenzie. It's a beer. It's like the beer fest of its day, of the 80s. And so there was a huge commentary taping party at Aaron's house over the weekend where it was Aaron and, as I said, Clyde, Scott Daly, and Jason Crumb, a whole bunch of people, and they just got really, really, really drunk and watched the movie with a bunch of microphones in the room and just taped their... At one point, by the way, I've heard it, and at one point, Scott Daly just drunkenly crashes into the microphone and brings the whole thing to the floor. And there's just a huge... Let me... I think I actually have that one, too. But this is from some random moment during the... During the Strange Brew commentary taping. This is, I believe, Aaron and Clyde.
I'll give you reasons. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Real. Saliva. Hypothetical Incorporated. We're gonna do it.
We're gonna make our dreams come true.
Gotta operate.
Doing it our way.
Oh, good God.
Fantastic. But the Laverne and Shirley theme song is famous for having this phrase that no one knows. No one knows what the hell they're saying. I mean, maybe somebody out there knows, but I don't. And it's where
they're... Something Incorporated?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But what the hell? Let me ask you this. Are you familiar with the Flintstones?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know the Flintstones theme song, which is the... This is the tritest of topics. This really is why the rest of the world hates us. It's like 500 wars going on, and I'm agonizing over the lyrics to some cartoon theme song. But there's that line... Okay, well, let's say the Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. They're the modern Stone Age family from the town of Bedrock. They're
something out of history.
Plays, they're a page right out of history.
Let's go to the neighbors down the street with the, isn't the courtesy of Fred Speedy?
See, but I didn't know that forever. I was 25, I think, before I could figure out what the hell they were saying there. And it's a dumb thing, but it's one of those things that suddenly occurs to you, and you realize, in a weird way, that it's been weighing your soul down for many, many, many years. And you're just like, wait a minute, through the courtesy of Fred's 2 feet. And then suddenly you kind of go... And you can kind of square your shoulders and sort of move on. You know what I'm saying?
My friend Lisa just wrote Hassenfurr Incorporated.
But what is that?
Lisa, you call and let us know why.
Hassenfurr Incorporated. All right. Anyway, but they say they're walking to the street arm in arm through Brooklyn, I believe, which is where they live. And they say,
is it the thing when they're putting the 1, 2, 3, 4
at the Schatz Beer Factory, which is clearly...
I just know that from Wayne's World.
And it's clearly supposed to be Milwaukee because it's obviously supposed to be the Schlitz Beer Company. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, and those are Yiddish terms. Blah, 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 Incorporated. I've devoted around a disproportionate amount of time to this now. Any event. Is there a huge... Scotty J is saying there is a huge accident with a semi-truck on the Markham Bridge.
On a Friday? That's not good.
Okay, this is a little bit of breaking news. We'll see if we can get some news on this. Apparently, there's a semi-accident on the Markham Bridge holding back traffic on I-5 and I-84. So avoid that if possible. He says the listeners wonder what is going on out there. This is a dumb question. I don't even really know where the Markham Bridge is.
The Markham Bridge is that bridge that goes right over the water here. You can get onto I-84 or else go right onto I-5.
Oh, okay. Is that what
it's
that's
that
called?
It's that main bridge.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know what that was. Why is it called the Markham Bridge? I thought that was something else.
Oh, yeah. The Markham is just the space like right between down near McAdam and then
lived
down
here for 10 years. I had no idea it was called the Markham Bridge. All right. Because I always think of
yeah,
the
Markham. Yeah, that's like one of the worst bridges that could be because that's where
that
everyone
sucks.
Gets onto
I-5. That sucks. That's terrible. Okay. So don't go anywhere near the Markham Bridge. So I-5 and I-84. Avoid those if possible. All right. Is this, should I be picking this up, or whoever this is, David, or whatever? All right, let me get the, David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Howdy.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, in the Laverne and Shirley theme, it's yes. Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated.
Haas and Pfeffer's a food.
Yes, it's a burned up bunny with a...
Yes, rabbit.
Yes.
Because there's that Warner Brothers cartoon where the guy said, bring me my Haas and Pfeffer.
Exactly.
Why would they say Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated? That doesn't make any sense.
The whole song's stupid.
No, but the rest of the song makes sense. Even Schlemiel. Those are okay. Schlemiel and Schlemazel are Yiddish. And
what do they mean in Yiddish?
I will tell you, Sarah Jane, because
right.
I love Yiddish. Schlemiel and Schlemazel. A Schlemiel is a klutz. I'm just answering with another Yiddish term. And a Schlemazel is a guy who is the victim of the klutz. Think of it this way, Sarah. If I were to spill soup on you in a restaurant. I am a Schlemiel because I screwed up. You are the Schlemazel because you're the victim of my cluttery.
Okay.
So a Schlemiel and a Schlemazel are klutz and the victim of the klutz, respectively. That's why the rest of the song doesn't make any goddamn sense because it's a... In context, that is gibberish because the rest of the song is real. In your face, David.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's how I roll. All right, there you go. That's David. Bring the Yiddish to me. Bring it right back. All right. Are these people really calling about the Declaration of Independence? I can just feel my whole... I just feel little bits of my soul dying. Oh, do we have a report? Is this really... Do we have a traffic report? I know this sounds like the sort of thing we'd never normally do, but apparently it sucks down there. So what is it? So it's in order. It's starting at the Selwood Bridge, then it's the Ross
Selwood,
Island
Selwood, Ross
Bridge.
Island, Markham, Hawthorne...
Steel.
No, Hawthorne, Morrison...
Burnside Steel. Okay,
at Broadway.
So that's weird. This whole time, I just never knew. I never knew what that one bridge was called. This is the Markham Bridge. Hold on. Let me find with the little. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, chunks have been torn off the Markham Bridge southbound. This is an accident involving a large cement pipe. Now, it shut down the southbound lanes on the lower deck of the Markham Bridge and caused damage to both the bridge and the cars parked below. There is no estimate of reopening time on the southbound lane.
Oh,
and it's
Friday. That sucks. Because at least... Oh, why didn't I bicycle today? Oh,
you're screwed.
Oh, I'm so effed.
So this is.
I'm riding the bus. That's going to be just as bad.
Oh, that's just...
Why did I drive? Why? Oh, of all the...
So, of course, it's a giant pipe that blew off the track and slammed into the left side of the bridge wall.
Did it hit a car?
Tearing up chunks of the wall and sending them into... Chunks fell into cars below in the Armsley parking lot.
Oh, my God.
See, you know what? So Jenny might not be able to come because...
8 to 10 cars damaged. A crane is being brought in.
But she's a reporter and a traffic reporter, so that might be her thing.
Well, that would explain why she's not here.
Yeah.
That sucks. And so into the Armsley parking lot. Oh, yeah, right below. I can totally see that right below.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we've got Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, Rick, I'd like to report there has been quite a Jimmy Jam on the Markham Bridge.
Yes, apparently there has. And also,
and if you would like to come see me, my name is Kenny Hogan. I'm available at 2:30 a.m. after 4 or 5 beers.
Okay, that is really... Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Hey, I had to beg Scotty Gator, let me say that on the air.
No, it's genius. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Fantastic. Thank you. Okay, that was really funny. I got some more email about her. Maybe since she's not going to be in today, I might as well just read them. Let's see. Where's this email I got about Jenny Hogan, the new traffic girl? Rick. Let's see. This email says, about that new traffic chick. The guy with the 4-beer assessment is right, by the way. She has these Da Vinci veneers, which give her the look of a mouthful of plywood where she can't quite close her lips properly. A little whiskey, though, and you're good to go. That's not me saying that. That's an assessment of the people. Oh, Rob, are you on the Markham Bridge right now?
Actually, I was on the 405, and I just drove right over and looked at the whole beautiful mess. What they're doing is they're diverting traffic off for off the I-5 southbound to the 405 bridge. So you're not going to be able to get into downtown through I-5. And if you're coming eastbound on 26 and you're trying to go I-5 southbound, they've closed the exit to get you onto I-5 southbound. And, you know, I'm cruising up I-5 right now and coming up to Ainsworth Street, and it's slowing southbound. It's going to be a nasty, nasty mess out there.
I can't imagine it. I mean, So this big pipe falls off a truck. It hits the divider, right? And then it's big chunks of concrete. And then they fell, God, and it destroyed cars down in the OMSI parking lot.
Obviously, it's not like you're real familiar with that part of the bridge or something, but it's kind of a freaky thing because you're driving down a freeway.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're on this bridge that's taking some sharp little turns.
Sure.
And if you're not expecting it, especially if depending on what's going on with this load, I mean, it's easy to have a load shift on you, and you could dump that pretty much just about anywhere there and start taking cars and people. Kind of an ugly thing. And
that's a scary bridge because that's the one that guy drove off of.
Yeah, and the freaky thing is I bicycle right underneath that. That's the weird thing. I bicycle through the OMSI parking lot. That's kind of the creepy thing about that.
That might be a tough one today.
Does anyone know if any of the bridges are closed? Because the Markham goes right over the Hawthorne Bridge.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. All right, thank you, sir.
Hey, have a good day.
Right. I'll get right on that.
I'm glad I wore my platforms that I can't walk in.
Oh, man. Well, and again, it's like,
a lot of people have it worse. They're going to be stuck in worse conditions than we are.
Oh, no, on any given day, there are many people with a worse life than we have. But this is of all mornings that I did not bicycle. And it's because I brought the trucks. I have some stuff. I have some appointments I have to be at the center, which I will now surely not be able to go to. I mean, because it doesn't sound like, I mean, if it's been more, apparently that accident happened 2 hours ago. And they're still, huge chunks of concrete. And then they got to check for the integrity of the bridge, obviously.
Falling off the bottom part of the bridge, that's the part that goes right over the bridges in Portland.
That's bad. All right, I'll tell you what. We've got more reports from the street. Who is Lori from the steakhouse, Scotty, and why do I want to talk to her? Well, whatever. Oh, and that Tim kid is going to tell us about the latest on his radio career. All right. Well, you can't save them all. It's 503-733-2970. I didn't even get to the MySpace, girl. We got the AM 970 Noon News Hour with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. That's around the corner. Later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, and it's Flash Friday coming up with Tom Likas a few hours from now. You stay right there. Here's your ticket. Don't go anywhere.